You're listening to Irish Radio, Canada's Home and Abroad, and I'm delighted to be sitting with Minister Neil Richmond of the Irish Government, the Minister for the Diaspora, who happens to be in Canada for the launch of the Ireland's Global Strategy on the Diaspora, the Ireland's Diaspora Strategy 2026 to 2030. And I guess Ireland is one of the few countries in the world that dedicates the resources, the government resources of a minister to look after the diaspora. So first of all, Minister, thank you so much for taking the time. I know your time is scarce and precious. So we heard from your remarks from the launch of the strategy yesterday evening. And there's a few things in here that I would like to just kind of focus in on. Talk in terms of the trying to focus on maybe encouraging people, retirees like for me, that might want to come back to Ireland. Is that seen as something from an Irish government perspective that has real potential?
Well, it's a full mix for us, Austin, in terms of we always believe we've a duty that to make life as easier for those who do want to return, at whatever stage they're at, be they retirees or be they people who've been away for a little bit of period. And there's always obstacles to return. And part of our diaspora consultation and part of our everyday work is to speak to the Irish abroad who say, look, we would like to come home, but these are the five obstacles away. Now, some of these are big macro issues that we're working hard on, but they're not specific, such as cost of living, housing, issues that are faced here in Canada as well. But things like, you know, a driving licence exchange, one of the great achievements of the last diaspora strategy was the mutual recognition by quite a number, the majority of Canadian provinces and Ireland, of driving licences. So if you've been here for 10 or 20 years, no doubt your Irish licence has expired. So rather than have to redo your test at a certain age in Ireland, obviously you can exchange it for a licence in Ontario or British Columbia or wherever you've spent the last few years. But the same way, one of the things that came up in the last time is, well, motor insurance. I haven't been driving in Ireland for the last 10 years, how can I get an affordable quote? Well, in my last brief, I was the Minister for Insurance. And in my last brief, I was able to open and launch the first company that specifically quotes for returning immigrants.
Right.
So that's Fastnet. It might be of interest to some listeners thinking of going home. And they've already got 6,000 premiums quoted. Now, not all those are returning immigrants. Some of them are just people who like the competitive nature. And I'm not giving a commercial endorsement here. But it was one that was where government worked with the private sector to provide a solution. Another thing is banking. I'm moving back to Ireland, I need to set up a bank account for all these basic things. All the major banks in Ireland now have a dedicated service, an officer aimed at returning Irish immigrants.
Okay.
Equally, getting your PPS number, your social services number. We've worked very, very closely with the Department of Social Protection to make sure that those returning are able to achieve that. Now, some of the work we do is to promote and encourage people in certain professions to come home, particularly those in the medical profession. And I know there's an abundance of Irish doctors who moved to Canada, be they in the 70s or more recently, as well as nurses, as well as those in the construction sector. And I'm very much of the generation, you know, I was coming out of university around the time of just before the financial crash. So a huge raft of my friends would have moved to Canada at the time, a lot working in construction and in healthcare. And a lot of them have come home. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, what about, spent 10 years working in a Canadian hospital, how do I get my qualifications recognised, how do I get that? So this isn't my specific role as Minister for the Diaspora, but it's where I work with other government ministers.
Right.
So it's very much a whole of government approach, that someone who is looking to return home, and they don't necessarily have to be first generation to want to return home, and that's really important, that we make it as easy and as attractive as possible.
Canada, in many ways, would have been perceived, maybe I should rephrase that, Canada really has not been perceived as hardly even existing in the Irish mind. And, you know, if you talk to anyone back home, you can say, oh yeah, you're coming from America. No, I'm not. And do you see that particularly Canada 180, Ireland Canada 180, presents an opportunity to help elevate the role that Canada played and to increase the educational awareness for the Irish population?
There's a lot of things coming together at the one time. Some really broad geopolitical shifts. The Canada-Ireland 180 commemoration and remembrance is also just changing shifts. So the number of Irish people emigrating to the United States has declined massively. the J1 visa program, which once attracted 40,000 Irish students every year, is about 4,500 now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I came over to Toronto in 2003 for my summer abroad, it was still very much, well, why aren't you going to America?
Mm-hmm.
But for loads of different reasons, I wanted to come to Canada, and it was a great opportunity and a great experience. So we now see more people emigrating from Ireland to Canada than in the United States, and that's a major shift. Canada seen as an attractive destination. When the financial crash hurt so many economies, both Canada and Australia were relatively immune to that from an economic point of view. Now, migration trends are also very, very different. The vast majority of Irish people who migrate now have the opportunity to return, which wasn't the case even 20 years ago. Which brings us to the position of the specific. More people have been moving to Canada over the last number of years, so therefore there's the level of familiarity, there's a greater level of visa options, be they working holiday visa, be it the summer abroad. But we're only scratching the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the opportunity with Canada and Ireland 180 is to go right back, not quite to the start, because Irish people come to, you know, wasn't quite yet Canada. We're coming to the region long before 1847. I don't need to get into Darcy McGee, any of those sorts of stories. But that was the big bang year when 100,000 people had to flee at the very height of the Great Famine. And it was the nature of their reception in Canada which has really struck me. The fact that they were welcomed in. The fact that people from religious orders, from First Nations, kept put so much time and effort and care into a really desperate population. And we see similar scenes of that in terms of the tens of thousands of Ukrainians that have come to both Ireland and Canada in recent years. And I think there is a greater awareness of Canada now than ever before. We're also at a period that we have a particularly Irish-Canadian Prime Minister. Now, not the first Canadian Prime Minister with Irish roots, but they're very pronounced. And one thing that struck me about Prime Minister Carney, and I make no political endorsement, but in my previous life I was chair of the Brexit Committee when he was Governor of the Bank of England. And a lot of the interventions he made then were really important, and were really important to Ireland. So it was lovely to think that one of our own was sticking up for us, and he was an Irish passport holder at the time, and he will be coming home in the coming days. So I just think we have the combination of an increased level of migration of younger Irish professionals over the last number of years, a changing shift of focus away from the United States, a greater Canadian focus on Europe, and also the fact that we are commemorating this really significant anniversary. And certainly throughout the diaspora strategy, a lot of people would automatically think, well, the Irish abroad, you think of certain British cities or you think of the United States. And then you look at the depth of the Irish communities in Canada. I suppose one of the difficulties is Irish people integrated and assimilated well in Canada. But then other parts of the world, such as Singapore, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Hong Kong, before you even touch Australia, you have really dynamic Irish communities that are a really exciting band of the diaspora as well. And I think that's I think Canada's top of the list there. It's genuinely a very exciting period.
Come back to the Black 47. One of the perceptions is that all the Irish emigrating were Catholic.
Yes.
And I was surprised myself to see that it was nearly a 2-to-1 ratio, that it was 60% Protestant, 40% Irish. And that story in itself, that it wasn't basically, it was a British-Irish as distinct from Catholic-Protestant story, and that there were Protestants in farming Ireland who had to leave as much as anything.
And I think that's something that's not told. People have this idea of the Irish abroad that it's an homogenous group, which it isn't. And even if you look at the United States, if you look at the second largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the United States is in Savannah, Georgia. And they were largely people from what they'd refer to as the Scots-Irish tradition, a familiar term here in Canada as well. And we've also broadened out the Friends of Ireland caucus in Congress, which is really important for strategically to include a lot more people from the southern states who would see themselves as Scots-Irish, or what we refer to as Ulster Scots. But that has been a really strong point. Again, I remember coming over to Toronto in 2003 for a summer abroad, young student, and the amount of friends and relations I have in the north is quite large. My parents are from the border county. I'd be from an Ulster Scots background, and they all had someone who had gone over. A lot of that was down to Bombardier. you know, big employer both sides of the Atlantic, Canadian employer with a huge presence in Northern Ireland from a most recent perspective, but also that historically Canada was a very welcoming place for all shades of Irishness. And even if you look at the comparison and contrast between Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, there was plenty of overlap there as well, and that has come forward. So, like, I was really struck with the first time walking down Old Lawrence or George or wherever it was in Toronto, and you had very distinct pub names. It wasn't just the Irish Embassy downtown. You had names, you go like, is this an Irish pub, or is it a Scottish pub, or is it a British pub?
Yeah.
And they go like, no, it's a Canadian pub. And I just love that. I think the way that the Irish of all shades, of all creeds and colours, have really fed into the Canadian story and been, you know, very homogenous, and or not homogenous, sorry, very intertwined into it.
The other big question I would have to say is that we have a history where, as immigrants, and we referred to it earlier there, where you now have Ukrainians and others who are in the position we were in. And politically, globally, the environment has changed where poison is permeating, particularly as in social media. And what gets the headlines coming out of Ireland an awful lot of times is horrendous intolerance. And as an immigrant, I find it hard to understand.
Yeah, and it really saddens me that is the perception, because it's a false perception. That's not what life is like on the ground. And I say this as someone who's been a career politician at the coalface for nearly two decades. We have had a change in story. People want to come to Ireland now. Wasn't always the case. The Ireland I grew up in, there was no immigration, because you just left. And often the Irish people who left Ireland did not have an easy ride. My uncle went to Britain in the late 50s, and it was the year of the No Blacks, No Irish, No Dogs. He would remember that very clearly, and he's in his 80s now. Indeed in the United States there was huge persecution, and in Australia, and there's still complicated issues with Irish communities abroad. And I certainly think immigration has been, the fact that people want to come to Ireland now, we've met inward migration, it has been revolutionary in the best possible sense. It has enriched us culturally, socially and economically. At the end of the day, a third of the work permits given out last year were to healthcare professionals. We would not have enough nurses or doctors in Irish hospitals if it wasn't for immigrants coming to chance. Equally, we're a country where people who are fleeing war and persecution look to us as a beacon of hope. So you see very isolated incidents, and there's an awful situation in Belfast this week, so I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but I really get very, very aggrieved when run-of-the-mill issues, concerns over cost of living, housing, fuel, are deliberately being hijacked. And and I use that term, you look at the far right and the anti-immigrant sentiment, they're not getting elected anywhere. But yet they're getting the coverage that somehow this 1% is the mindset of the Irish people. And we know that's not the mindset, because we all have a relation who moved abroad. We all, look, I emigrated for a couple of years, but we all have the emigrant story in our families. And we all know what it is like to not be welcomed. So why on earth would a country who has prospered and played so much in other countries' roles, particularly in Canada, where we were welcomed so strongly, where we were integrated, where seven Canadians prime ministers have Irish heritage, why would we then somehow not adopt that same approach? And I'd give this very clear message whenever I go abroad. Social media is looking at Ireland and going like, well, Ireland isn't, why would they be anti-immigration? And there was a scene of, you know, 400 people with you know, absolutely hijacking the tricolour or protesting it all. That's 400 people.
I know.
If I got 400 votes in an election, I wouldn't be doing my job very well. And I think we need to be able to separate what is an angry, noisy, highly influenced from Russian, American and British outside influences, have to differentiate them from the Irish people as a whole. The Irish people are overwhelmingly, and the opinion polls back it up, and the debates in the Dáil, and the people who are elected at all level, Irish people appreciate immigration as being a good thing.
Minister, I know your time is scarce. I do really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much, and looking forward to 2027 and the commemorations that go out throughout the year.
Thank you so much.